This is Columbia Morning at News Talk 1400 KF4U. Really good to welcome into the studio Peggy Gray, who I would consider to be an old friend now because we've done certain interdisciplinary Center on Aging segments for quite some time, and glad to be able to do this one. Good to see you. How are you?
Very good to see you, David.
You have been coordinating the STEP program for a while and have brought various people in who are involved with the STEP program. So before we introduce our other guest today, let's tell again those who haven't been paying attention what the STEP program is.
The STEP program stands for Senior Teacher Educator Partnership, and it's a mentor program that connects older adults, people 65 and older, with first-year medical students at the University of Missouri.
So then what do they do?
Well, they get together and have dinner or talk with each other, and we also have 6 events a year where we provide meals and an interesting talk.
This is something that is unique to the med school at MU, or is it somehow you got this idea from other places?
Well, I think it's unique to our own medical school. As it turns out, some other medical schools have tried different versions of what we do, but maybe I'm a little biased. I think we're the best at it.
Yeah, probably are, because it has survived for quite some time.
17 years.
So how many are involved in it now?
Well, last year we had 71 students participating out of a class of 104, and they were all volunteers.
Wow. It kind of makes you wonder why the other 33 didn't do it. Probably had schedules and busy. Well, one of those is Meg Lee. It's nice to meet you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're now in your second year, correct?
Yes,
at the
sir.
Med school, and you took part in STEP last year.
Yes.
So Peggy says that it's just for first year. So are you like locked out now?
Of course not. Actually, I finished my first year in May, and I just had dinner with my STEP partners, who are Raleigh and Marty Hausman, last night.
So, will you continue on meeting with them?
Yep. I told them that I was going to be jealous of their new STEP partner, and I couldn't leave.
So, they're going to have I'll go back to Peggy for this. So, is it oftentimes like the persons who are the, how do you call, I don't know how to distinguish. You have the med students, and then you have, I don't want to call them the old people.
I call them.
Because one of the STEP participants is here, and I don't want him to get angry at me before I even hardly meet
yeah,
him.
Well, yeah, it's tricky, but I refer to them as seniors.
The seniors. So they oftentimes will stay in the program and do a student a year?
Yes, that is correct. You're allowed to sign up for a new student every year if that's your wish. And then a lot of them collect their medical students over the year. So officially, it's a one-year commitment, but folks get attached to each other and remain friends throughout medical school and even beyond.
So you, Meg, you started your education somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So you were basically new to Columbia when you came to med school.
Yes.
So this was kind of a way for you to feel more comfortable in the community, I would guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some of the things that you have done over the last year with your STEP couple or friends?
So like Peggy talked about, some of the Fridays during the school year, we have a lunch with all of the STEP partners. And then we go to like an educational meeting after that. So we did that every time. But then throughout the year, just on our own, we've done dinners. We go out to dinner. I go to dinner at their house. Actually, it's hard for me to go home during holiday season because I'm studying a lot. Mm-hmm. So I spent Thanksgiving, Easter, 4th of July with them and their daughter and son-in-law. So one time my car broke down and Raleigh came and picked me up. It's just been a nice thing to have an elderly couple to spend time with.
Isn't that nice? Why did you sign up for it in the first place?
So I, like you said, I'm not from here. I went to the University of Nebraska and I took a couple classes in aging there. And as most people know, because lifespan is expanding, there are a lot of elderly people in the community. So I know that that's going to be one of my big patient populations, and I'm interested in how they work in a personal setting so I can best help them when they're in my care.
So you did it because it would expand what you were going to get in the classroom. I mean, opportunities to see other things that are going on in the lives of people who you might be seeing as patients later on.
Yes.
All right, Chuck, I'm sorry for this, but I didn't really do a good job of introducing myself before I got on the air. Is your last name one or two syllables?
Two.
Velti.
Velti.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Now, anybody who's listening right now, and like David Gaines in the newsroom there, I don't know if he's got us up or not, but like your voice is like one that we would die for.
I'd love to work here. I'd love to. I'd even volunteer.
Go tell the managers there that he's even eager to volunteer. Well, that's you and you told me off the air, we did get to this point, that you like studied with someone in Seattle because at some point in time you were thinking maybe if you needed a job you might go
this
to...
This is what I'd like to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a radio show in high school, so it's always stuck with me.
So where was high school?
Regis High School in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Your path has taken you from there to Seattle to
Columbia, Missouri.
To Columbia, Missouri.
I used to laugh that when I flew over here that it was the Flatlands and I would probably never return, but that changed 3 years ago.
You flew over it a lot. Flew as a pilot for?
Northwest Orient.
It says here you went on Asia routes quite a bit.
All the time, because I was based out of Seattle. That was the, what that base covered, right?
Boy, so many questions in regard to piloting commercial airlines, but maybe we'll get to those later if we still have time. How did you learn about STEP program?
I learned through friends of ours who are involved in it, and they referred us to it, and we met Peggy, and the rest is history. This will be our fourth year.
Tell me about one of our kind of encapsulize, I suppose. If it's your fourth year, then that means you've already had three STEP partners.
Right.
So tell me about them.
Well, the first was a young man named Joe Sinnott, who's now going to be Joe Sinnott. He's going to be a fourth year, and we still stay in touch with Joe. We still do things that Meg has mentioned with them. Last year, we had Abby Berry and Parker Russell, these two dynamos. I mean, they are – Abby was the president of their class. And we had a Super Bowl party, and it was wonderful. They were over. They were, you know, cheering for the teams. But at halftime – Lady Gaga was performing, mm-hmm. and here's Abby singing every word to every song. I mean, I'm looking at a future doctor who's a human being. I mean, they're dynamic young people to start with, and it was very interesting.
So you had two in 1 year?
Wonderful way to go.
So how often does that happen, Peggy?
Well, it doesn't happen often, but it was so successful with Chuck and his wife Nancy that we might be actively doing that in the future. What happened was Nancy was really looking for a male partner. And in the rush of getting things together, I gave Chuck and Nancy a female partner who they adore. However, another person became available and I said, hey, would you two like to be Parker's partner? And they said yes.
So did you think that's a good idea? You liked it?
I think it's outstanding. Yeah. And what turned out was that Abby and Parker became very good friends as a result of these activities together, because not only do we have the lunches and the lectures, but the ancillary activities. For instance, a week from Sunday, we're taking them to the Claysville store for brunch.
Wow. Claysville store is really good.
It's outstanding.
Oh, my gosh. Have you had the ribs down there?
No, but somebody our last time we went did, and we envied them.
Yeah. Well, you better get there early if they're going to have rib night.
Is that right?
I've learned that from past experience. That the ribs, and I'm not a rib person, but I'll tell you what, I would go down to their rib place every day. Well, we're getting, again, off track, but these are the kinds of things that would happen when you're talking to your step partners.
Right. And they also see in us, you know, as older patients, this is, you know, one in five of us will be over 65 in 2030. So their workload is going to be in this senior population. So they see, we get to talk to them about experiences we've had with medicine over the years, the good and the not so good, and also the skills needed to communicate face to face.
Does it ever cross your mind, they're using me as a guinea pig? Not on treatment.
But
I don't mean
so.
That as treatment, but like, you know, soon to be Dr. Lee would say, I'm looking at you as helping me to know what I need to know about an elderly person or
you
a
know,
senior citizen.
That's very important. It's probably true, and willingly so, I might add, but we're also teaching them in reverse what it's like to be dealing with senior citizens.
And it's also a friendship program.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I very much feel that from the conversations we've had about the STEP program in the past. So what do you feel that you do, and I'm turning back to Meg Lee now, who is the now second year med student at the University of Missouri. What insights did you come up with? But you're not looking at that when you're looking at your partners, are you? You're not thinking, okay, now, how will I understand a certain segment of the population different now because I've spent this last hour and a half with people?
No, I mean, so something that when we go to the lectures, Raleigh has to sit on the end because he's had a couple hip replacements. So that's something that I didn't know, but it does relate to medicine. And it's something I have to think about. Well, if I gave somebody a hip replacement, they might have to sit on the end. How would they work with that? How would their life be changed? And that's the purpose of STEP. I'm looking at the person holistically instead of what their one issue is, and that's what makes medicine good, especially like Chuck was talking about, with 1 in 5 people will be over the age of 65 in 2030.
This may be a really bad question for you, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I'm curious. When does someone turn old? What was your definition of old as you grew up?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I thought my mom was old and she was 30.
Oh, man.
But now I'm 23 almost. My birthday's tomorrow.
And oh, well, happy birthday a day early.
Thank you.
Mid-July.
I don't feel old yet. So I think old is like 150.
A good answer.
I like that answer.
You're running for office someplace. What do you think about that, Chuck? I mean, do you consider yourself old?
Well, statistically, I am. Yeah. But do I feel old? Not really. Except when you first get up in the morning, I think it saves, you know, there's the creaks and the stiff muscles. But no, it's all relative. And I've been very fortunate to have the health and the mindset that, you know, like others, that we haven't lost our memories and things like that. But I think what we also give to these students is the fact that there's value in experience. And our life experiences, we share those with them, and I think that helps them in understanding future patients and people they'll be dealing with.
Did you intentionally enter the medical field because you wanted to work with older patients or not?
No, I actually want to be a neonatologist, which is the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Uh-huh. But like I said, I took some of those gerontology courses in undergrad, and one of my professors, Dr. Julie Masters, said she really could see me as a geriatric medicine physician. So when I heard about STEP, I was like, I've got to be a part of this, especially even if it is just to meet people.
Has it changed your mind?
I'm actually more interested in it than I was before.
I wonder did she tell you what she saw in you that would make you perhaps a good gerontologist?
So this is kind of morbid, but we took the class called Death and Dying, mm-hmm. and she just said she really saw something in me that cared for older adults, and I didn't want to just ignore them like some people in the community do. And I think that's kind of what she saw. At least that's what I'm hoping she saw. Maybe it's just that I got a good grade.
No, I think that's probably a pretty good evaluation of what would be important. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that would be important. I'd want somebody to understand that
right.
and what the concerns are as you do mm-hmm. pile up the years. So what will keep you to doing this program?
I think I stay in it because the exposure to young people is very encouraging. I mean, we hear a lot of negatives. These are bright, you know, young adults with attitudes of common sense, eager to learn, and those type of things. And what we give to them, you see that benefit. And exposure to our age group, well, med school helps them prepare for their medical practices, and they're learning to relate to us, and so I think it's very beneficial.
How do you decide what to do with your med student?
We talk to them.
Yeah.
Like anything else. What are their interests? I mean, we learn about their families, you know, and we become, quote-unquote, step-parents in a way.
Uh-huh.
They will tell us, they share with us their activities with their parents, their relationship to their families. They're just like part of the family. As the year progresses, you start feeling like they're one of yours.
Yeah. Do the ones that you've had as your STEP students come from far away or near also? I'm just curious because, like, if you're 5 or 6 hours away, maybe, or I don't think that Meg is that far away from her family. You're up from Northwest Missouri, but you're still a little bit of distance there. I'm just curious.
Excellent question. Our students have been St. Louis and Lake of the Ozarks, mm-hmm. is distance. We did have one young lady who, it's now a third year coming up, who is from Boonville. But her mother's a local doctor. So her need, I think, as the program went on, for the STEP program, kind of lessened as the year went on. We didn't see her as often.
Uh-huh.
But the other three, even with the distance to St. Louis.
Do you find that those young people have preconceived notions about people of age?
I don't know if they have such preconceived notions. Not really. It's just they're learning to open up. They come into this business with interacting with electronics. And the skill sets I could see them develop as they're going through med school of person-to-person communication. So important. It's going to be necessary for their success. So seeing that change is
important. I like that. I think that is a great observation. And I'll come back to the student then, because I think that, especially as people who are in a group of 60 and above, probably in age, probably would really have a concern about you young whippersnapper doctors there being too connected to electronic things and not wanting to pay attention to the real.
Absolutely. I actually have a perfect example of that. So whenever Raleigh and Marty and I are together eating, he always was like, Meg, get off your phone. So since probably September, so I've kept my phone in my car. I keep it in my pocket. I refuse to look at it at all because my generation is you look at your phone all the time. Mm-hmm. So when he mentioned that it might have even been insulting, and he didn't say that, but I was like, wow, I could potentially be hurting their feelings by looking at my cell phone, even if it is just to check the time.
And you don't think anything of it. But from the perspective of someone right. that is our age, and Peggy, you and I and Chuck, I think we're all, you know, we would say, huh, you know, you got to think about how it looks to others.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I think that's going to be one of the biggest challenges as we become more technology savvy. And I think that we have a lot more that we probably will, and that will show itself, especially in medical care.
Mm-hmm.
But just the ability to listen. I mean, it's yeah. important to this generation of baby boomers and above now. I don't know what it'll be like to your generation. Mm-hmm. They may not care, but you're not going to be treating them for a while.
No.
It'll be this older people.
And it's still nice to even just look at someone in the face when you're talking.
Uh-huh.
And don't have your, mm-hmm. your eyes in a cell phone. And I really try to avoid that actively now, especially since I've seen some of the consequences that come with it.
Yeah. Any comment on that?
No, it's a positive direction, and it's very important, as you agreed to.
So what else? Anything else as we wrap up? Anything that you would say as a sales pitch to others who in this community who, first off, Peggy, how old do you have to be a partner?
You need to be 65 years old.
Okay.
Or older.
But you could still be, I mean, some of us might still be working at 65.
Well, you know, and that's interesting. And it's something our students need to see. A lot of our step partners have, at the very least, part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. And Raleigh, for years, was selling insurance. Mm-hmm. In, I would say it was a full-time job for him, but he yeah. his he'd make time for the program.
65, can you be single? Can you? Do you have to be a couple? What's the
good
requirement
question.
There?
Good question. You can join as a single or a couple.
Uh-huh.
And we've even had some interesting partnerships like mother and daughter. Yes.
What's that mean? A mother and daughter?
Like a 65-year-old woman and her 90-year-old mother.
I see. So they would be teamed up as a pair
exactly.
with a student.
Exactly.
I hadn't even thought of that. That would be kind of fascinating.
That really was interesting.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've done that twice, actually.
Any final thought then? I started with you, Chuck, about any
Peggy said it all. It's something we look forward to. Each student is different, of course. They have different backgrounds, but they've got a common goal. And if we can facilitate their understanding of that goal, then we've done our job.
And may I just say that there is a website,
mm-hmm.
www.stepmu.com.
Step, just like you take a step, STEP, as it stands for Senior Teacher Educator Partnership. Chuck Velty, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Peggy Gray, always good to talk to
always
you.
Always good to be here.
Meg Lee, glad you're here. And
thank you.
Best of luck to you as you start year number two. A
thank
busy
you.
Time for you with the medical field you're going into. That's our program today. This is News Talk 1400 KFRU.